Our scripture lesson for the sermon today comes from Luke chapter 2. And you may have read the passage just before this for Christmas time with your family. We're going to be starting at Luke 2, verse 22 and through 40. And this is when Jesus was a little baby, about 6 weeks old, and when he was brought to the temple. Luke 2, 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Well, this is one of the only passages we have about Jesus' childhood years, and it's a very special one. Comes right on the coattails of our famous Christmas story reading at the beginning of Luke chapter 2. But today we're gonna not even go through all of the text we just read. We're gonna kind of focus in on this interaction with Simeon, and some of the things that he says here this morning, and dwell on these words. And this is when Jesus is about 6 weeks old, as I mentioned. And this Christmas I got to have a very special treat of holding my baby niece. And this is the first child of any of my siblings, and so it was very special for me, and I gotta say that I was very anxious to meet my niece Mara. And she lives out in Kalispell, Montana, which is quite a ways away, and I hadn't been able to see her before this, even though she was a few months old now. And when I got to my parents' house up in Minnesota, I went in the door and people were trying to greet me and hug me, and I said, get out of my way, where is the baby? And I went and I looked for that cute little girl, and I just wanted to hold her in my arms. And what a special couple days I got to have with her. And my mom mentioned, Matt, when you hold her, you just have this look of pure contentment on your face, and that's really what I felt holding this sweet little baby girl that I was so excited about. And in our story here today, this story from history of Jesus' childhood, we have Simeon, a man who was waiting for the Messiah to come. And God had given him this very specific promise that he would see the Messiah before he died. And when this baby was brought to him on this day, and think of this, this man saw babies all the time. This was a normal ritual that these children would be brought at this time to be blessed and to fulfill this law that was given to them. But out of all of the babies that this man got to see, he recognized this one as the child of promise, because it says that the Holy Spirit was with him and the Holy Spirit let him know, this is the baby that you have been waiting for, the Messiah. And he got to hold this child in his arms, this king, the Messiah, the Savior, in his own arms. And he had been waiting so long for this, and it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And you know, the people had been needing a Messiah. And so this was a great relief for them, a consolation for them. One commentator says, the consolation which dispels sin and its guilt and misery. You know, they had had many hardships there. And Simeon and this prophetess Anna that's also in this text are examples of the faithful people who were clinging to God's promise and waiting for God to deliver them. And as they were surrounded by people that were unfaithful, that were not clinging to God's word, and as they were buffeted on every side. But now their consolation was here. And as we look into this text a little bit more, we're going to see that there are a couple main parts of this Simeon account. First of all, Simeon and his song of salvation, and then Simeon's prophecy of conflict, I'm going to call it, that he gives to Mary and Joseph. So first, Simeon's song of salvation. Imagine this again. Simeon has been waiting a long time for this, and now he is holding the Messiah in his very arms. And he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He may be saying here even, now I can die at peace. We don't really know for sure if Simeon was an old man and if he would die shortly after this, but we kind of get that illusion here that God said this would happen before he died, and now he's saying, now I can depart. Now I can go. I have everything that I've been waiting for. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, when I was thinking of this picture, I don't know if it's because of the time that I grew up or whatever, but I thought of the Lion King movie, and I don't know if you've all seen that or if kids even watch that anymore these days, but if you have seen it, recall this picture of this baboon who's got the king lion, this baby prince lion that's going to be ruler of all of all the animals eventually when he grows up. And now he's got this lion cub, and he paints his face, and the music starts to come up, and he brings this baby in his arms, like Simeon's holding baby Jesus, and he comes out onto this rock above all of the animals, before all of them, so everyone can see, and he just holds out this lion cub for everybody to see, and all of the animals are gathered around and they go wild. It's kind of the climax of the movie, right at the beginning of it, and all of the excitement. I mean, what this means for them is that they're going to have a ruler who will guide them and protect them. And this is what was true with Jesus. This is the Savior of the world, the King who had come. And now Simeon says, now I can die in peace, or I can depart in peace. And this was promised also in Luke earlier in verses 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" You see, this is more than just a bucket list item for Simeon. You know, we have those things that we want to accomplish before we die that just make us feel satisfied with what we've done or seen. But this was so much more than that for Simeon and for all of us. This was the peace of God entering the world. And so God not only followed through on his promise to Simeon, but he received the gift of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and he had everything that he needed. God had kept his promise. Simeon said, "According to your word." In verse 26, we read that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. But also, this promise is not just for Simeon, that he would see the Christ, but there is the promise to all of us. Luke 2:10, "For the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" And so this child, Jesus, was promised not just to Simeon, but for all of us. But the picture keeps getting grander here, as God's salvation is offered not only to his own people, the Jews, but to everyone in the world, for all peoples, even the Gentiles. It says that you have prepared the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And for us, I don't think we realize how scandalous this was at the time, that Simeon is standing up in the midst of the temple and saying that this is the Messiah. They're going to think he's crazy already. And now he's saying that God's salvation is coming through this baby, even to the Gentiles, to all people groups, all nations. You know, the Jews, some of them anyway, had gotten this wrong idea that God was only trying to save them. And it's so easy for us to fall into ideas like that, but God had a greater plan. It was for all people, all groups, even to the Gentiles. And so this gift of the Christ child was given even to us. And maybe we take that for granted now because we are all pretty much Gentiles, as far as I know, here. And yet this was even then for us. Let's look at this second part here of this section with Simeon. After his song of salvation is the prophecy of conflict. Now, before he had been blessing God or singing out to God and worshiping God, and now he turns to Mary and Joseph and he's going to bless them and give them a word of prophecy. And remember, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and so the Spirit then is speaking directly to Mary and Joseph. And he says, "Behold, this child is appointed." And appointed, first of all, for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Let's look at the rising part here. And that's what everybody expected. When the Messiah came, they would expect that he would raise up his people in Israel. And he would bless them and save them. It says, and thinking about this coming in a little child in 1 Corinthians 1, which we're going to be spending a little bit of time in here, it says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise." Think he had just given a baby to save the world. "God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." They expected him to come on a white horse with a sword and shining armor maybe. He came as a baby. "God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not." He was born in a manger to a carpenter to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And so he sent a humble Savior to lift up, to raise humble people that need him. The physician came to heal the sick, to raise them up. But it also says, interestingly, that some will fall. And that was really, I don't think, expected. They thought he was coming for all of Israel, and that they were all going to benefit from this. But listen to what 1 Corinthians also says in verse 18 of chapter 1. For the word of the cross, which is the gospel, is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And a little later in 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, think about what they thought was going to happen, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach. This message about salvation coming in a baby through a humble man who would die on a cross. The folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, people were going to be stumbling over it. Even Jews and all of their spirituality and religiosity were going to stumble over the Messiah, it says. And the Greeks, with all of their vast wisdom and knowledge, were going to consider this foolishness. And so in this little baby, there was going to be conflict. Some would accept him, but many, and we find out elsewhere from Scripture that most would reject him. In fact, in rejecting him, they killed him on the cross. Martin Luther, when he talks about this stumbling, he says that those who stumble over the gospel are, and this is in my own words, they are those who can't believe that this little child is their only salvation. I mean, it's anybody who would say that's foolishness, that it would come in this little child, that it would come just in this man, that it would come only from God as a gift. And he explains that they can't believe that all of their good works, all of their piety and their willpower counts for nothing. Have you ever had that feeling? Kind of frustration with the gospel? It can't be that simple. I mean, I've worked hard. I believed in God. Doesn't that count for anything? I've tried to be pious. But you know what? We can't count on any of those things. And if we are putting our trust in our own willpower and our own works and our own piety and our own religiosity, we are going to stumble over this simple gift of Christ. Or as Luther says, we're going to knock our heads against this rock instead of finding it a rock to cling on or to lean upon and find support. Secondly, not only will it be one that will cause some to rise and others to fall, but it will be for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. A sign that is opposed. You know, not everybody is excited about Jesus, and not everybody really wanted the message that he actually came with. Throughout the Gospels, I want you to notice that as you read through these, that as it gets closer and closer to the cross, there's more and more opposition to Jesus and his message. It's not what people wanted. The religious people didn't think he was religious enough for them. The powerful didn't think he was powerful enough for them, and so on. They didn't think he offered them enough blessings. Some people just wanted to fill their bellies with food, and they liked his miracles, but they didn't like his message and what he was really about. And there are some who would rather just seek their own fulfillment in this life, and when they have food in their belly and they've had their drinks and they've had their different things that they enjoy in this life, they think they have everything that they need. And they would oppose this Jesus. This opposition is one guy named Ferris calls the dark side of Christmas. You know, Christmas is a pretty joyful time, but this is a surprisingly dark and sad message at the end of this passage for Mary, as it describes that Mary even would be cut to the heart with a broadsword. It would pierce her soul. And it's the picture of Jesus on the cross, this one who came to save, now dying. And you think of that moment at the cross when Mary is standing there. It says in John 19:25, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and these others who loved him, standing there. And the disciples were so crushed, his loved ones were so crushed, as their loved one, the Messiah, hung on the cross. He was opposed. And it hurt so deeply. And yet, in even that moment of great hurt, was God's greatest salvation, because it was through that death on the cross, through that loss and that hurt that we all experienced watching the Savior of the world die on the cross. It was through that God delivered peace. He made peace through the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us. And so imagine, again, this picture of Simeon holding this baby and all that was wrapped up in this. The people there could hardly believe what was to come, but Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit, has a word for us today of what all that was wrapped up in that little child. He was the one who would bring peace, who would raise up the humble, but also would be a stumbling block to the proud and rebellious. And he was one who would face great opposition up to the cross, but all for the sake of bringing you peace, that you might rejoice in this Christ child. We still have our baby and this scene from the night of his birth up here to remind us of this great gift, because he didn't just come to live a nice life on earth, but he came to die for you that you might be set free. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this baby, the Christ child, the King who was sent to our world to bring us peace, that we could say with Simeon, now I can depart in peace. I have everything that I need. There is nothing I need to look for in this world to provide for me, but I have everything I need in this Christ child, because in him is the wisdom of God. Even though the world calls it foolishness, the world says that this is just a baby, this is just a humble man and one who was opposed and who died. But we see, Lord, through the guidance of your Holy Spirit and the testimony of your word, that this Christ child, this man who died upon the cross, is our salvation. And now we can depart in peace. In his name we pray. Amen.